Hi, how you doing? This is Daniel Dewar. It's been 20 years in the making and a month late. I recorded this episode during the pandemic over the internet. If you can overlook the less than ideal sound quality, I promise there are nuggets here. You will get an insight into the life of my guest today in ways that I think you have never done before. This is Kenyan Stories. We talk about her journey so far, family, body issue, her struggles, her wins. We get political and more. During this recording, life is happening all around. We have surprise guests, offspring, mother, and another offspring. Get your popcorns, plug in your headphones as you get the pandemic weight down on a run, on a walk, or you're beating the traffic jam, whether you're at work, at home, or at play. This is going to be an episode that's a must listen. Please be aware also that this is an immersive sound experience. Sound seems to come from all over the place, and that's okay. Stay tuned to find out. I give you my conversation with Pinky Gilani. This is Kenyan Stories. My name is Daniel Dua. Welcome to the show. We're still here, so that's a certain thing. So thank you for joining me. It's really, really cool. Like, you know, you're my hero. You used to bring me to Capitol and get our studio to talk to me. That's an awesome thing. I've never forgotten that. I'm a very shy person. So the other day I was talking to this person and they asked me, how are you so confident on camera? I told them, a girl called Pinky put me on TV the first time at an event called FAR. And I was like, oh, whoa, I should tell her that, you know. So that was really cool. Yeah, that was cool.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
So good.
But then, how are you keeping so young?
I'm keeping so young.
Yeah, what's your secret?
I always say this, when a black person tells me that, yes. You have no authority to tell me that, because black don't crack. Like, black people look amazing. You could be 78 and still look like 20. So you guys have that past, you know? So there is no secret. I think it's good genes, but I really think coming from a person of, you know, the skin tone that is darker, the melanin is darker, yeah. You guys don't get old at all. Sorry, can I ask you one second?
Okay,
just
please.
Hold on. These guys are making so much noise. One minute.
These kind of stories.
I'm back. Sorry.
That's okay. It's the new way of doing stuff, so, you know.
I know, it's like a child might pop up from somewhere, so please just be prepared.
And I kind of like that, because now that's the new reality. In fact, one of the things I always believe in is the normal wasn't working, so why do we do normal? So the new normal, we don't even know what that is.
I think, like I said, change is a constant. So, I don't like the term new normal. I think that's a very scary term. If we're like, oh, there's a new normal, so suddenly we're anticipating something that we're not used to. However, if you just call it, look, we're transitioning, it's a flow. I always say we have to be like water. We have to be able to, I mean, water bears so much. You can throw a pebble in water, you put a big ship on water, and water is able to just adapt. So we need to be similar and the same. But, you know, if you go deep, 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 deep down into water, water is very still. And I think that's what is allowing it to be everything that it is on the surface. So my analogy is be still inside. So on the surface, you're able to adapt.
Starting off with powerful stuff. Wow.
Absolutely.
But what has changed for you?
Since COVID?
Yeah.
The wretched COVID. I'm a public speaker. I need events to be able to work. I'm an events person, you know, again, so I like to socialize, I like to network. So that to me has, it's interrupted my life, because I'm also that person who, when I see you, I hug you. And I, you know, I embrace, I'm a hugger. And now we can't hug.
No.
So my life is just, it's become very weird. I'm trying to understand what it's going to look like. However, I'm a person who believes that we need each other in order for our immune systems to continuously grow and be strong. So this whole isolation stuff, to me, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Just right now is something I'm battling with.
In the context of everything else, I think, you know, we are a bit privileged in a way that we are not exactly locked down.
Because I have family who are in Italy, in the UK, in the States, and there's total lockdown. I don't think we'd survive that. So I feel like we might escape some of the lockdown situation, I feel.
I agree. So the curfew might continue for a while longer, and this isolation, what is it called? I don't like the term social distancing because I believe we still need to be social. I call it physical distancing because that's what it is. So, you know, those are the things that might continue. However, I feel it's very unfortunate for our children to grow up in a world where you have to be distant from your friends. Like I said, I'm a person who likes to hug, so my children probably have learned that from me, where they want to hug others. You know, this whole wearing a mask thing again, I just feel like it's a bizarre reality. And I really think we need to be informed as individuals before we just are given instructions. Two children in China have died from wearing masks and doing PE. A runner has died by, you know, running and wearing a mask. His lung collapsed. So we just need to be wary. Yes, be cautious, but also be aware.
True. One thing that really impresses me about you is how you are able to adapt and to change. First of all, I think the first time I ever heard about you, your Miss India Kenya.
That was 20 years ago. Can you imagine?
Ooh, crack don't crack, right? And you don't crack either. Yeah. So 20 years ago, wow. That's the first time I ever heard of you. Then you were on radio, and I think that's the first time I ever met you. And from there, you started your own stuff, and now you're taking over the internet, really. What are some of the things you've learned over time that you're using to be who you are today?
What you have to do in your journey. Again, my kids are walking.
Nice.
Guys, I'm doing a live. Sorry.
That's awesome.
So one thing that I accepted, you have to be able to evolve as a personality. You know, you can only do so much for so long before you sort of step back and allow somebody new and fresh to come in and do that. And that doesn't mean that that's your competition. It just means that you have made room for someone else to sort of fit into your shoes or create their own niche. And then another thing that my mother taught me is that we're not going to stay our age forever. So please age gracefully and don't be in denial that aging is part of your process. So also, you know, being a 20-something-year-old radio presenter is something that I did, but it's no longer who I am. However, it gave me the platform to be where I am today. It gave me the training. It gave me the networks to be able to be where I am today. So letting go is an important aspect of evolution of self. Let go of who you were in order to become who you need to be. So I just allow myself to accept, one, that I am no longer in my 20s or even in my 30s for that matter. So I need to be relevant for a person, say, my age. So I'm trying to relate to somebody my age who may be who may be going to come again.
What's his name?
There are two. There's Cuddles and Paris.
How did you come by the names, by the way?
Stories. As we take a break, I'd like to tell you about another podcast that I do. It's called Conversation with Daniel Duer. Here's a sampler.
The catch is that you need to have your own self-care time, where you just do things for yourself, nobody else, no social media, no speaking to other people like that. I think it's just like you have to find the power within you to abstain from all these things.
And then when they do speak, they're giving way too much information. So I think it's important for people to know that some things are just inside voices. Don't let that out, you know? And I think part of that comes from the social media thing. Again, you know, immediate, let me text that back. Let me tweet that. You know, sometimes you can just not say nothing. Let that sit for a minute. You know,
For us, I don't think we're the dream partners at work, but I wouldn't do it with anyone else. Like, people who actually do well with their partners would agree with me that it's so much fun to work with your spouse, because I think your struggles are totally understood because somebody understands what you're going through.
So the challenges of investing, there's a very interesting interplay here between the investors who are coming with money and with the government and the local community.
Well, Vice President, Design and Technical Services for African Indian Ocean, a very important market for us.
We actually operate under the flag of an international brand, and we offer as well management services for non-branded properties.
Now let's tell you about staycation. So staycation is where you take your holiday in the country where you're resident, rather than going abroad for your holiday.
And I'm a research engineer from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. We're working on developing chambers for post-harvest storage of fruits and vegetables.
This many to do.
Okay.
So no worries.
So the real person you need to be speaking to is the one over there.
Okay, you make an introduction.
I'll make an introduction to you.
Okay, cool.
Conversation with Daniel Duer. Clearly, you're in good company. So let's get back to my conversation with Pinky Galani. When we left, this is where we were.
I came up with the name because Cuddles was, she was my dog when I was a child, and then Paris was born. My girlfriend was in Paris. That's how she got her name.
Sorry, I think I lost you for when you said Cuddles.
So Cuddles was my dog when I was little. She died.
Oh, sorry about that.
This one I named her. And then Paris is Cuddles' baby. So when my daughter and I were in France, in Paris, Paris was born.
So I can hear you now.
Fine. Where were we? Oh, so being relevant. You're telling me about how being relevant and adapting.
Accepting exactly where you are and who your audience is, you know, not pretending to be or not so craving attention from a different demographic than you are, but also allowing yourself to talk about things that are important. I'm actually, my whole sort of motto right now is to be able to talk about things that are relevant.
One thing that I notice is when you're coming up that period, it was very new on one hand, but then there's so much competition because the training that people went through that period of time was really good, but then the people who came up were also very competitive because everybody was young, everybody was driven, everybody was gorgeous, you know, those kind of things. How did you get through that? Because you rose to the top at that point.
Look, in workplace, there is competition. And yes, of course, I did find a lot of competition in what I was doing. And, you know, it was cutthroat. Because you're in the media, so you're in the limelight, and there's a lot of why is she doing it? Why am I not doing it? What I used to do is very much stay in my lane, focus on me. I didn't really care what anyone else was doing. And that was, you know, some people call that my strategy or a power play. But that was exactly who I was and who I still am. I really don't care for what other people are doing. And not to say that I won't celebrate you if you are doing amazing things, but help you if you need, you know, a bit of a pull to get to the level that you want to be.
But I kind of like this right now because imagine your radio days or in your TV days, this would never happen because it was really clean and sanitized. I've always liked this kind of real person.
This is the world we're living in right now, so I'm going to put her here because I think she wants something.
Oh, she's very cute.
Yeah, this is Paris.
Hello, Paris.
So, yeah, so, you know, you will find all sorts of competition in whatever you're in or wherever you are. The thing is, you just need to focus on you. Don't worry too much about what other people are doing because that's when you start failing or falling.
Hmm. do you? So now you've been doing speaking engagements, but now you're doing it online. You have sessions every week, every day, right?
I do have sponsored sessions every week. I could go online every day, but I feel like right now, there's an overwhelm of a lot of things going on online. Again, in order to remain relevant, I sort of just choose where I want to be. I don't want to be fighting for space.
Okay.
You know, I talk to my target audience, I tell them that I'm going to be online, and that's when I do it. So I don't do it every day. I feel like, personally, if I did it every day, I would mentally exhaust myself. I look after my mental health first. Then I'm able to contribute fully to what I do.
My question would be, because you could have just been a celebrity and basking that, why did you choose to go into public speaking? Because that's about other people. Because you didn't have to. Most people would say, you're a model, why care about growing other people?
So that's what I was saying earlier about letting go of who you were in order to become who you are or who you need to be. And it's that general evolution. So I was that. It's not that I consider myself still that. It was just part of my journey that allowed me to arrive to the platform that I am in today, the space that I am in at today. So I feel like my mission, and I really feel like it should be general across the board for the human race to be able to give back to each other, to uplift each other. But I feel I get a lot of satisfaction by uplifting other people and sharing information and sharing knowledge and empowering others by speaking about experiences or maybe interviewing people who may help other people come across whatever we're speaking about. I just feel a lot of fulfillment in giving back. And this is a great avenue to give back.
That's really awesome. I do life coaching and it's very rewarding for me. One thing that I would want to know is, it's great to talk about the challenges. We talk about the challenges all the time. But what are some of the best wins you've ever had in your life?
Best win?
The best wins. Because it's easy to, if I ask you for challenges, they'd be like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. But some of the best wins you've ever had in your life?
They put my face on a matatu, you know, and when your face is on a matatu, like when they're putting up faces of Missy Elliott or whoever, and you are one of the celebrities that they choose to put up on the wrong guy matatus, I was just like,
wow.
That was a major win. I think another big win, just a space where I was just like grateful, maybe not a win that's very ego-driven, but where I just felt fulfilled is when somebody wrote to me on Instagram and said that they saw my engaged story and they actually wanted to take their own life. But because they saw my story, they didn't. Because they didn't think that a celebrity, again, celebrity, would have gone through the pain that I went through. And they said, if you could have gotten through it, then you gave me hope to be able to get through my life. Me was a great deal. Guys, I'm doing the
last one.
What's up?
Now everyone's joining. Let them say hello. Hello. Hello, hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Ariana.
Hello, Ariana. I have a niece called Ariana too. How old are you?
9.
This is Kenya Stories.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Painting, and it's coming. And now it's
coming.
You're not on
Thursday. Leonard, I'm skating guys here.
Yes.
I'll just tell Leonard to come back. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I'm loving this. So we're talking about your wins. We're talking about your wins before we forget.
Another win was the message that I got, Instagram message. Just having people say your kids are good people. That to me is very satisfying. It's like, you have good kids who are well-mannered, respectful, and believe in helping others. I remember one of my daughter's teachers about a year ago, she said, your child is the kindest child in my class. And that just brought tears to me because I think kindness is key. And that's what I always find above everything.
And that's a challenge here, especially because there's a lot of backbiting and hate and all these things, and there's so much negativity. And part of the reason why I've stayed out of the limelight is because of that. Especially if you are an extrovert, introvert like myself, it's a big struggle, you know. Well, let's not talk about the hate itself, but how have you dealt?
Initially, just was in this space, I thought everybody liked me. And then it got to a point where I understood that not everyone likes you. And that reached a phase in my life where I was like, not everyone likes you, but it's okay. Not everyone has to like you. You have to like you.
Yeah.
What really used to get to me is when haters used to hate. You know, there's that... You could not like me, and that's okay. Just get on in your life. You don't have to be, you know, all crazy, but just get on in your life. But when you are purposefully mean, that's a well. So that's something that got to me, because I was bullied as a child in school, and then to be bullied as well by people with professional sex was never fun. But then I understood, you know, through whatever I've gone through, that I... Your perception of me is an indication of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be nasty to me, it means there's something about you within you that is unloved, and you have to heal that. That's nothing to be. You have to be able to go out and get the healing in whatever is making you cause discomfort towards me.
But Pinky, that's easily said than done, you know. It's like they have too much time on their hands and whatever it is. It's really, it's not logical.
It's, that's the thing, but you see, you have to be very evolved to be able to understand that people only understand you from the level that they are at. So if you are trying to send a message at a higher level, then they will not understand, or at a lower level. Whatever level they're at, that's where they will understand. So that's what I'm saying. Your perception of me is a reflection of where you are. If you hate me, it's because of where you are in your life. And those are your issues that you figure out. There will always be hate and unhappiness from people, especially when you are in a space where a lot of people see you or view you or look to you as somebody who's a celebrity. But you know, they're just opinions, they're just things. And also those people who are spreading the hate, or sending the hate,
mm-hmm.
will continuously evolve to the point where, you know, if one day they hated you as a celebrity, one day you won't even matter in their lives. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So don't base your value of yourself on someone's opinion of you. That is their journey.
They are
healing that they need to have.
Okay, great stuff. One thing I've noticed, and I probably need clarity from you, is the word celebrity. You struggle with that word?
Yes.
Why?
Because I just feel what defines a celebrity? We're in a country where politicians are celebrating. However, you know, there are a lot more people deserve to be celebrated. For example, our athletes, those are our celebrities. But if you look, if you're sitting in a restaurant, when you put pre-COVID, you sit in a restaurant, an athlete can walk in and there'll be a little bit of a murmur or a stir. But a politician walks in. So then suddenly, you know, everybody's, oh my God, I'm wishing you, oh my God, sir, you know, everybody's, you know. And I feel that there's a lot of people who are celebrated for the wrong reasons. So when you call yourself a celebrity, or someone calls you a celebrity, you have to really question that, because what's the definition of that in today's world?
Yeah, influencers, whoa, that's interesting, you know. Because I have 2 likes on my Instagram, I get to be an influencer.
All influencers. You don't need to be loved by a million people or followed by a million people in order to influence. You know, you could have, but like you said, 2 likes on your for Instagram, and but you are still influencing. You are influencing the people who love you. You are influencing the people who employ. You are influencing, you know, your children. You are an influencer, and I
think if we took a straw test, a lot of people would say she's influencer. Given that you are an influencer, that a lot of these people are hurting right now and they're confused, that there is a level of certainty. What would you tell somebody like right now?
In regards to what's going on with the pandemic?
Just generally, because I mean, life was hard to start for some people. And now it's just gotten worse for almost everybody. But there are people who are doing well. I've met a couple of people who are doing well. But for most people are in fear. Most people are not leaving their house. You know, all this sort of thing, anxiety.
Yeah, I think mental health is something that we need to discuss. It's a very big issue. Everybody needs to be responsible for their mental health. You feel you're going down a deep down rabbit hole. You need to take control of that. I know it's very easy for me to come here and say that to you. However, you know, we all need to be in charge of our mental health. And it's okay to not be okay. We need to normalize that conversation. So anxiety, depression, of course, is on the rise. With everything that we are seeing, there's so much. There's too much of a bombardment of this is wrong and this is wrong and this is what's going to happen and this is where so, you know, take control of your mental health. Take control of what you consume in regards to news, what you're listening to on social media, where your focus is, what you're watching, who you're listening to. Take control of your words when you are speaking to your friends, when you are speaking to your family. You know, we have the power to be able to change our worlds. I'm not saying the world, but our world. And if we all did it, if we all changed our world for the better, then we can, as a collective, change the world. But be very informed. Make your decisions from an informed point of view. Don't just listen. Go and say, okay, this is what's going on. What exactly is it? You know, WHO can give us all sorts of facts and everything. And we can say, okay, fine, you know, it is this and it is that. But also do your research. Speak to doctors. Speak to friends. Speak to family. Find out for yourself what is going on the ground. What exactly are the symptoms? What does it look like? And then from there, make your decisions. Don't make your decisions based on fear. And with everything in life, this too shall pass. The thing that I keep on saying when I'm on Instagram, whenever I do my videos or everything, is that this has happened for us to change. So if we don't take this as a lesson or an alarm clock, or, you know, the way that the world has shook us, the universe has shook us as something that needs to move us, then we're in for a worse sort of, what's the word? It won't get better if it was. So you have to be able to change yourself in order to change yourself. Normal, as they say, was not working. We were a society who used to worship money. At this point, I ask you, whoever is listening to this, look at our leaders of this. We are in a worldwide crisis. And did your leaders stand up for you? Did you feel safe in your home? Did you feel like you had the right health care? Because these things will make you be more in control of who you are voting for when we actually go to the polls in 2 years. You know, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. All these things have opened our eyes to what world we want to live in. What does your world look like for you? What do you want it to look like for your children? Do you want them to be wearing masks? Do you want them to be harassed by cops? Do you want, should this, God forbid, happen again, do you want to fall asleep knowing very well that should anything happen to your health, there are hospitals that have been built for you and that you can walk in there and you will be taken care of? This is where we have to act from. We have to act from a point of view where we are informed individuals and we are not fearful. Yes, there is reason to be afraid, but if you have the information, the correct information, you are able to empower yourself to take the next step and go from there. Like you said, times were hard before. And again, why was this? What's going on? That there is a flow of money, but we don't seem to be getting it. What's happening? Sorry, I ramble on and on and on.
No, it's okay. That's why we're here. You know, I mean, it's about your opinions, about your thoughts, and about your experience. We know the face. We think we know the person, but we don't know your experiences. I've worked with people in other countries where they say whoever their hero is, and if you go to their archives, you can find details and books written about these people. In this country, it's like a flower. When you're in the limelight, people remember you. When you're not, you're gone. You know what I mean? And people say, that was so-and-so, you know what I mean? And we need to capture our history. And that's why I do this, capturing my city, Nairobi. I was born here. This is the only city I've ever known. I mean, you say 20 years. I didn't even believe it's 20 years already. I mean, if we go back and look at those 20 years, you don't even know what happened, you know? Because, like, for example, how old were you when you started out in the beauty page and the radio? I know you're smiling.
So when I started modeling, I was 17 years old. When I won the Miss Kenya, I was
24. By the time, were you on radio already?
Yes, I was already on radio. I started my history with media is that I was a radio presenter, a television presenter with BBC. When I was 19 years old, I used to do a community show for the BBC on Sunday. And then I went on to KBC Radio, and then I did a community radio station. So initially, my target was just Asians. And then I fell into mainstream media, because of a lady called Zane Burgey.
I remember Zane.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's awesome, and that's what we need more people like. She believed in me, she didn't look at me as a threat, because we came from the same sort of Asian background. She didn't look at me like, here's somebody who's going to take my space, whatever. She so called me and said, look, I need a capital. They are looking for a presenter. Would you be interested in it? Yes. And she introduced me to them. And, I feel that that's why she is where she is today, because, she wasn't stingy in giving her the opportunities.
Whoa, something just started. Okay, I'll just turn my mic up to ask. She brought you in, she mentored you, she let you in, but it's very difficult because most times when you're working in those kind of situations, there's a lot of card fights, you know what I mean? And people support that. There's a lot of that. How did you manage to do that? And were there card fights that we can know about? Not the names, just the situations.
Of course there were card fights. Of course there was bitching and moaning and people unhappy. And there was a lot of power struggles and, she did that, and I should have done that, and we should have done that. They say if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. However, I was young. We were all young. So you do what you know. You do what you do because that's what you know best at the time. In retrospect, when you get back, you're just like, oh my God, so childish, so petty. But it is what it is. It happened. You just have to be able to continue forward. The struggle is, she's doing that, but I should be doing that, she doesn't deserve that. You have to, one, understand that there is a big pie and everybody can get a slice. And then, two, just like I said before, just do your thing. Do your thing. And everybody else can do their thing. But then, I can't explain.
I get you totally. Yeah, well, I would have loved to be, a fly in the room at the time. I think I had some, but let's move on.
Well, I mean, papers loved that. Tabloids loved it. Write about these.
Yeah. do you feel that now it was better then than now? Because now, if anything would have happened, you'd be all over social media and all over the space.
Oh my God. So, there is the good and the bad. Like someone said to me, oh my God, if social media was there when you were Miss India Kenya, of the radio presenter, your followers would be like in the millions. And so that's the plus side of if there was social media at that time. But then the negative side, of course, is that everything would have been on social media. And that there forever and ever. Like I said, when you're young, you make mistakes. And I think we should be allowed to make those mistakes. That it was a good thing that, you know, fine, the tabloids reported it, but it was that much of a paragraph. Until you knew, then you knew that was about you. Otherwise, nobody cared.
It's vicious now. I look at the kids on TikTok now, and just bombardment all the time. So we've talked about your wins. I want to go the opposite. I don't believe in the word regret, but are there some things that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Well, you know, again, I think everything that's happened in my journey is exactly where I need. Don't say I would change anything, because it's brought me exactly to where I am today. But yeah, I wish I hadn't trusted people as much as I realized that not everybody is me. There is a point in your life where you think everybody is exactly like you. So if you would never do that to somebody, then they would never do that to you. But hey, lo and behold, no, people are different. People have their own reasons for doing stuff or being your friend. But
What are we talking about? Like in what situations?
No, just, you know, like I've had friendships that have been completely messed up. I'll give you an example of a friend of mine. Friend is just for her own reasons. She basically wanted, and I've said this in my podcast, that she wanted to be me. So she came into my life, told me, you know, it's a very narcissistic way of being who you need to be. Sorry, now the dogs are barking. She had all the manipulative ways of becoming my friend, understanding what I did to become who I needed to be, yeah, making sure that I got rid of all my friends while I was a friend, playing into my personal relationships as well, including my in-laws, etc. And then suddenly, you know, just hot potato, and then using all this information against you. So, you know, just silly.
Don't you think that's human nature? As I grow older, the one thing I've known is it's okay to be alone and to have one or two friends, and you have a committee of other people who are going to be in your life, but everybody stays on their lane in a way, because I don't know.
So absolutely. I mean, like I said, for me, that's the only one thing that I would have changed is not trusting some people. You know, because of that, then I'm questioning who else I'm trusting. And even questioning myself, because it was a lack of judgment on my part. So do you trust yourself now when the next friendship comes along? And I saw that.
Yeah, they're just saying they're leaving.
I've got two teachers, yeah. I've got a skating teacher and an art teacher, which is why there's so much.
Oh, by the way, what sports do you do?
Me? Yeah. I love yoga. I tried to run. I did the marathon once, and I did the 10 kilometers, which I trained for in 6 weeks, and I think I made myself sick of running because of that. I've tried to get back into running because I really love my body and how it looks when I run. My mind is still stuck in the fact that I tortured myself.
And now that brother, that's a great segue. There's a lot of noise now for some reason. That's a great segue, and if I didn't ask this, I mean, people, it's obvious. How do you keep your body so trim? Graceful doesn't describe you. I mean, you're beautiful, so how are you keeping that going?
Again, I think I have to say thank you to genetics, because really, right now, especially through all this nonsense that we've been going through, my training schedule is off. I watch what I eat. I do try and do as much yoga as possible. But I think it's just the genes that allow me to maintain. However, gravity is taking control now. Like I said, I'm getting older, so I do notice that my ass is not where it used to be. It's sort of falling down a bit. And, you know, sort of the boobs are like, yeah! So I'm like, no, wait, we gotta, you know, I'm not one person who believes in chemicals or in cosmetic surgery. So I'm trying to really attune it.
Again, you know, beauty is beauty, whatever age, you know what I mean? Especially now, because one of the things that a lot of people have said that after C19, there's going to be a lot of people who've gained weight, and there's going to be a lot of pregnancies too. You know? Yeah.
That's how big. Like, yes. Oh, God.
So I think we're in for some health issues. In closing, perhaps, because now you got two teachers waiting and before interrupted by Paris, what drives you now? What makes you happy and what drives you? What inspires you now? Outside the family, obviously.
What inspires me is the legacy. What are people saying there? The fact of the matter is, well, from that, right? Whatever it is, it's the Achilles that's written, it's already written. But it's that legacy. It's what did you do? What was your contribution? Whether it was to a larger society or even to one person, did you make a difference? And that is worth writing. That's really what makes me get up in the morning and do what I do.
That's a great answer, and that's very poignant. And the reason why I used to come see you is because when I was a kid, I had this condition. I had to go through an operation for 21 hours. You don't want to hear that story, but yeah. So that's why I came to see you, because I was like, you know, I was a mad kid and grew up so quickly, and I just wanted to make a change and make a difference. And, right. Speaking of legacy, I think you mentioned it about money and whatever it is. In kind of success and in the world success. What does success look like for you?
Success is like you loving yourself, you loving and accepting every bit of yourself. No matter what the world tells you that has to look like. If you wake up and you love you, and by love I don't mean looking in the mirror and saying, oh, you are so gorgeous. It means that you know you have flaws and you own it and you try to make yourself better, but you wholly, completely accept yourself and love you without condition. That means you are successful.
Good stuff. Is there something you think I left out that you want to probably, you know, talk about? Just bring up.
No, I just want to push that the fact that mental health is one of the biggest issues that stops us from becoming exactly who we need to be. Once we agree to the fact that we all need healing within us, there is stuff that we hold within us that we need to let go of, allow to just sort of come up to the surface, deal with those demons. To me, once we do that, then we have actually done ourselves justice and we've done ourselves a good service. And once we become better, because the onus is on us, we are in control of our life. We become better human beings. The world will become a better place. Nobody's going to come and do that for us. That's on us. Each
I think it's a cue for us to end here, yeah? Before you go, I just wanted to say thank you. I mean, it's easy to follow in the shadows of other people, but it's easy to also stand in the shoulders of giants to do what you do. You guys set up the platform, and now you came and you raised us, and we are raising the next generation. So from me to you, thank you very much. In fact, for giving me, I remember I used to come and get you from the studio and you'd sit down with me and you'd explain all these things. That was so kind of you. So kindness. I mean, it's something I've experienced with you, so thank you very much.
It's my extreme honor that, you know, somebody would even ask. So it is a pleasure to share my own.
This is Kenra
Stories. Kenyan Stories, produced by me, Daniel Dewar. Some of these stories have existed in different platforms, media outlets, and different formats that will be available on this feed from now on. Please subscribe so you get notified as soon as a new episode is available. I would love to hear from you. Also, reach out to me on the social, I mean all the socials. Just search Daniel Dewar. That is DanielDewa. And say hi. Please say hi. It's a really cool thing when you do. Also, leave a comment on this episode and all the other episodes. Tell me what other Kenyan stories you'd like to hear. And also, feel free to share this story with your family, friends, relative, everybody, near, wide, and far. Kenyan stories.
The stories of our time.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, my name is Daniel Dewa.
These kind of stories. Oh, we talked about the situation from last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Because sometimes that makes sense. Yeah, so I don't know. Probably I went around, I didn't even answer the question you asked.